You don't have to do just one thing and be, you know, okay with just doing one thing. There's no reason where you should be stuck in this box where you have to just do this one specific thing that you're good at. If you're able to do other stuff, go for it.
Hello, gorgeous. Happy Thursday and welcome back to another episode of the Jessica Harlow podcast. In case you're new here, I'm your host, Jessica Harlow. I'm probably best known for being a content creator in the beauty and self-help space. I'm here every single week sharing the things that I wish I'd known sooner, the shit your enemies probably don't want you to know, the stuff that actually can benefit you. So many people spend most of their lives admiring beautiful, happy, successful people, sometimes even envying them. And what's the point? Instead, why not figure out how you can join them? I created this podcast as an easy way for me to share whatever I think can help you create a life that you love on your own terms. Not what anybody else wants you to think that your life should look like, but what you want it to look like, and giving yourself the space and permission to decide what that even means for you. I also recently released an ebook called Rewrite Your Life, which is all about the power of perspective and getting enough of the clarity that you need so that you can create and even recreate your life at any time. You can find it on my website. There'll be a link in the show notes. But let's get into talking about this week's episode. So anyone that's been following me for a while knows that I'm not a believer at all of putting yourself in a box and limiting yourself to just one category, especially if you don't want to. I just really believe that people are multifaceted. Nobody really is just one thing. And if you think so, you're probably not looking closely enough. Which is why I'm really excited about this week's guest, because he is such a great example of someone who is multi-passionate and does it really, really well. His name is Jason J. Frost at J. Frost Brooklyn on Instagram. He's a really good friend of mine and somebody that I have a lot of respect for. What doesn't this guy do is probably the shorter list. His creativity knows no bounds. He's a jeweler, a rapper, a designer. He's got a sandwich. I feel like I'm even forgetting things. Anyway, the point is he's a really good friend of mine and somebody that I have a lot of respect for, because I think when someone is able to do so many different things and do them really, really well, they themselves become their own category rather than fitting into a category. He's definitely somebody worth watching and paying attention to. That said, let's get into the interview. Why do they call you J. Frost?
Okay. So I used to wear a lot of jewelry when I was younger, probably 12 to 15 range. That was always my thing. I always liked the way it looked on people, and I always wanted to give my own take on it. So it was a bunch of silver and cubic zirconias, and I was actually addicted to it, and I would always have my parents take me to this place and buy all of it. People would always have this thing of me with ice and this and that. So in the America Online days, everybody used to put all this weird shit on their profiles. Those and names days. And nicknames and things like that. And I put J. Frost because I wanted something that represented the jewelry that I wore without using the typical ice or bling or diamonds. So I figured Frost.
How old are you?
Probably 13, 14 years old.
So it's a long time.
Yeah. I've had the name for a while.
Okay. So let's say you meet somebody out at a bar and they ask you, what do you do? What do you tell them? Because you do so many things.
So I basically would say I do a lot of different things. I am an entrepreneur, first and foremost. I have my own clothing line. I do jewelry in the Diamond District with Greg Yuna. I do music. I rap. I can sing a little bit. I write.
And you're able to get all of this out at a bar.
I mean,
loud music.
Depends on how many beers I've had, I could get it out. Yeah. That's it. I'm just a very creative person. If I had to sum it all up into one, I'm very creative.
Mm-hmm. So how do you even balance it all?
Because
isn't it just a lot of moving parts?
It is, but they're all different. So it's not like they're all taking over one specific thing. So it's not that hard to, manage them. Like the clothing, it's already, I already designed that. It's like everything's separate from each other. Mm-hmm. Of what I do. So it's not like they're all taking over one at this, the same time slot.
Yeah, but still, there's only so much time. So how do you arrange for it? Are there certain days that you do certain things?
No, it's all
very routine.
I am very routine. For those that don't know, I'm pretty OCD and routine. I the jewelry is the main you know, part of my day.
That's your everyday.
From like 10 to, you know, 6 o'clock at night, we're in the Diamond District doing the jewelry thing. When I come home, I'm, you know, filling in orders that I got on my website for the clothing. You know, on the side, I'm always, while I'm on the subway or when I'm at the gym in the morning, I'm thinking of raps to put out. That's mm-hmm. my passion also. So I'm always like writing raps or writing music and things like that. So...
But like, do you ever get overwhelmed?
All the time. I mean, nothing's easy. Nothing. This is what it is. I chose it. So it's not like I can't be like mad at anybody for being overwhelmed. It's a good thing, you know, to be overwhelmed with stuff that you're doing profession wise. You know, if it wasn't overwhelming, that means nothing's busy and there's nothing going on and I wouldn't be doing too well. So it comes with it. So if you can't be upset about being good business-wise or being good in your profession because it's just what it is.
Right. And it seems like from what you just said, because you said that you're doing the jewelry during the day. That's like mm-hmm. your everyday. But then you're also, you know, you're working on your wraps. You're working on basically you're doing this like on an everyday kind of basis, a little bit of everything on an everyday basis overall. Right. Yep. So maybe that's why it's kind of just become a habit.
Yeah.
Would you say?
It is. And it's like
breathing for you.
Yeah. You don't have to do just one thing and be, you know, okay with just doing one thing. If you're able to do other stuff, go for it.
Yeah, because a lot of people say, like, focus on just doing one thing. And I think that's what's really interesting about you because, like, I'm not a one-thing type of person.
And I don't think that anybody should be if you are able to do other things or you like and have a passion for other things. There's no reason where you should be stuck in this box where you have to just do this one specific thing that you're good at.
But you're also choosing to do this because honestly 100%. Like I love you could be doing anything. Do anything. Like, I love doing anything. This.
I love what I do. It never feels like it's work. It
or
never
like you
feels
have
like
to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. A question that I always ask people is like, let's say, because sometimes people think, oh, you're doing this just for like money or this and that. And it's like,
no,
I feel like even if you had like all the money in the world, mm-hmm. I feel like you would still be doing
100% because it's something that I enjoy doing. So, you know, it makes me feel like, whole.
Aww. That was cute.
No, but it's true. It's a part of me. So it's like if I'm not doing it, it's like I'm not me. So
that's like how you express yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Because then there's people who will say that they don't know what their passions are. They don't know what they're passionate about. But like you've been doing this pretty much your whole entire life. Weren't there a lot of clues like in your childhood that this is what you end up doing?
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is that I don't know if I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Well, music for sure, because I was always into music because my father's a musician. Mm-hmm. So my father was doing his music thing. He had albums out in the 70s, like 3 albums, you know, he was signed and everything. And he was always doing music in the house and playing the piano and writing music. So I was always there, you know, and he still does it to this day. You know, he's got his own band now. They play like Beatles and stuff like that at like restaurants and things like that. But I was always into that. So I knew something with music I would love to do. But I didn't know exactly, you know, what it would be. But I do know that when I was younger, I always wanted to work. I don't know exactly what it was. But, you know, wherever I was, I always just had this, like, interest for people that were working wherever I was. So if I was at this beach club that I was at growing up, I wanted to be a security guard there or like a cabana boy. And I used to like pull chairs for people and they would be like, oh, this kid's cute or whatever it was. And they would give me money for like pulling. I wanted to work wherever I was. I always wanted to work. I was never shy about busting my ass for money. Like I was ready for it. Like I always wanted to, oh shit, I could do that and make money. I'm in. So I always had a work ethic.
Sounds like you were like a little man.
I was a little boy man.
A boy man.
Yes, a little boy man.
So when did you decide to start doing, you know, designing and clothes and things?
So my mindset always was, you know, what makes somebody want to wear something or somebody else's brand or whatever? Why can't I have my own? Why can I make my own brand where people are like interested in wearing that? You know what I mean? Why does it have to be one specific way?
So, how many people looked at you like you were crazy when you said that?
probably every single person. You know, I started sketching. I'm not like a great drawer or like professional designer, but I always came up with like these ideas and logos and little things that I just thought would always look like cool on like a t-shirt or something like that. So I would say in junior high school is where it started, where I would be like sketching these little like logos for my brand at the time, Frostware. And I would have like,
and where were you doing this? Like, were you doing this like in school?
In school, in class.
Yeah.
Not paying attention probably at some point and just sketching this in the back of, I wish I could find my notebooks and shit from junior high and high school. All you would see is designs of like clothing and probably like my signature. Like I would practice my signature.
I used to do that all the time.
Literally. I used to practice my signature because I knew I was going to use that shit one day for something. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to want this, and or just I just wanted to perfect it, and that's literally probably all you saw in my notes and stuff was my signature. All of it. To this day, I'm still practicing my signature. I have it down, but yeah.
Okay, so that's what you started doing. You were in high school. So then, what was the
junior high school?
Junior where high I started school. Practicing Ooh.
It. Yeah.
Look at you.
Get it right. Yeah.
Like, were you like 100 at birth?
Yes. Yeah, I used to print up, I used to get plain t-shirts and I would go to, I think Staples or Best Buy used to have it where you buy these little like iron-on papers and you print on it mirror imaged. You have to print it like.
Yeah, you have to flip
mirror
it.
Mirror imaged. And then I would just be, Ma, give me the iron. And I'd be ironing these logos and shit onto plain t-shirts and wearing them, and people were just like, what the fuck are you wearing? How? How'd you do that? Yeah, no, I was never worried about anything that people had to say. I didn't care because I knew that, like, they're not normal for thinking that I shouldn't be doing this. Like, that's how I looked at it, you know?
Yeah.
If they're judging on what I'm doing and wearing, like, I don't like being regular.
You're a Gemini.
Sense. If that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense for you to be regular. So when you were a kid, let's say now, this is something that I always find interesting. Like, where did you picture yourself? Who did you picture yourself being at this age? And what do you think the little kid version of you would think of you now?
That's a good question. At this age, I didn't know exactly what I would be. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be successful for sure. And I knew that if I kept with what I was doing, that it would happen. You know what I mean? Like, I never gave up on anything that I wanted to do. And you could see how it all, like, kind of, like, ties in now.
Mm-hmm.
What would the little kid version of me think?
Yeah,
what
was like, let's say the little kid version of you, like, would he met be like, you.
He would be now. Excited, I think. I mean, shit. If I excited. Because I used to look up to people my age or a little younger than my age that weren't doing half the shit that I'm doing. And I used to think that was amazing.
Like, I'm saying it as like, let's say like the little kid version of yourself, like had like a crystal ball or something and like saw you.
Yeah.
Now.
How would he feel? Like, would he be happy? Yeah. Would he be proud?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Hell yeah.
That's good.
100%. That's a really good question also. And I think that the little version of me would be fucking ecstatic of where I came from that point to now.
Okay, because it's a question that's something I think about all the time. About, like, what would the little kid version of me, like, think?
Yeah.
Let's also highlight you're white. For anybody who's listening, he's white and he raps.
I'm white and I rap.
What was it like getting into that? Because this had to be a whole...
Well, I've done music forever. I got into rap when Eminem came out. I'm going to keep it 100% real. His first song was, like, was My Name Is. And I was like, oh, this is like a white rapper. I didn't think I knew he was white at first when I first heard it, but then when I saw the video for it on MTV or whatever, I was like, oh, he's white. This is cool.
I saw the video first.
And maybe I did. Maybe I did see the video. I was like, okay, he's white. Is this really who it is, or they just have a white guy in the video? Like, pretend? I don't know. I was like, okay, he's white. It's a funny kind of rappy, you know, catchy, funny song. I was like, this is cool. His album came out, and I bought it. That was the first rap album I bought probably in, like, forever, because I always listened to, like, some sorts of rap, but I was into rock when growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the Eminem album. And I started listening to it, and, you know, My Name Is came on. I was like, ah, blah, blah, blah. I know this song already. One of the next songs that came on was Guilty Conscience by Eminem, and had Dr. Dre in it, featuring Dr. Dre. That song made me want to do rap, period, when I heard that. Because that was like a real rap song. And that was the first time I really, the concept of the song, the beat, everything just got me out of, like, loving this My Name Is funnier kind of song to, like, holy shit. I want to try this. Like, I want to rap now.
Yeah, because, I mean, he did things very differently.
Yeah, and he didn't give a fuck. And he didn't care about anything that he did. And he was, and still is, very, very talented.
He still doesn't really give a shit.
No, and he's very talented. And his wordplay, more so that, I mean, the shit that he said then, he wouldn't even be able to come out with now because it wouldn't even be accepted by anybody.
I always listen back to him and I'm just like, shit, this would never fall.
Never.
Today.
Never, ever, ever. His first album could have never come out.
Thank God it came out when it did. Now we have it.
Yes.
So then you start. Didn't you go into doing rap battles and things? How did that come
about? So I mean, I used to battle with like kids in the neighborhood, like fucking around.
Okay, I'm gonna link to his Instagram, you guys, because there is a video, there's a clip, and I think it's like one of the top three best things you've ever posted on there. And you asked the guy how your dick tastes. Like,
yes, in the video.
To kiss his girl and tell
and now,
you,
mind you, I'm
how
like
how his dick tastes.
Mind
now,
you,
was this like? Wait, was this like accurate, or were you just like fucking around, just saying it, or was it like true?
No, it was just like when you're dissing somebody, it's when you're doing like a battle, you just say whatever. You know what I mean? It wasn't a true statement, but it was
I'm
like
pretending it's true.
It was just like holy shit, it could be true, you know, like that. And mind you, I'm like 17 years old here, and you know, we were
he
doing
was
this.
17,
shit.
And he was like a tiger.
Yeah, everybody went nuts. It was cool. I gotta find the full video of that somewhere because it was crazy.
But like, didn't you feel like you had to prove yourself? Definitely, like especially like, was everybody else white? Were you the only white person?
No. What in the battle? Like doing this?
Yeah.
This... So I used to work for this telemarketing company, which we talked about
when you were 17.
Briefly, yeah. When I was 17, and it was like there was two offices that we worked with.
Okay.
I was in one office, and there was like 30, 40 other people in another office. We would have a Christmas party at the end of the year, and it was all young kids for the most part, like myself. Mm-hmm. And that office had people that rapped also and things like that. That's actually what that battle was from. That was from the Christmas party rap battle. We had a whole battle set up. They had a DJ. They had
people. That was a Christmas party?
It was a Christmas party
you
that turned into a fucking rap battle of like, I don't know how many people were in it. Maybe like 15 people. Total, 10, 15 people.
And how long were you doing that for?
The telemarketing or the battle?
The battle.
That was a one-time thing. I mean, I used to battle in the street, like just like I said, like fucking
battle
around.
In the street.
But battle in the street, rap battle in the street.
You're talking to like a little white Greek girl from Queens. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, battling in the street. Okay. But like, okay. Well, continuing on with music, because where I consider you a legend, okay? Because you have songs in a video game.
I do.
Because, like, I have that as, like, that's the highest.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you made it. Because, like, I loved video games growing up, so, like, that's, like, the coolest thing to me.
Yeah.
So how did that all come about?
I did one of my jewelry clients, one of our jewelry clients, Neil Lowy, actually runs all the music for WWE wrestling. And I just thought it was cool that he worked with WWE. I grew up watching wrestling, love wrestling. To this day, I love wrestling. You know, he bought jewelry pieces, whatever. And then a few years back, I did a remix, just messing around, not an official remix, to Adele's song, Hello.
Okay.
Did a remix to that, posted it on my Instagram. You know, this is almost 4 years ago, whenever that song came out. And he heard it. Because I guess he started following me because of the jewelry thing. And I get a message from him and he's like, bro, you rap? Like, I didn't fucking know you rap. I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't really talk about it too much. Like, I'm just starting to get back into it, like, whatever. Because I used to do this back in the day, like, in the MySpace days.
So, wait, was there, like, a point where you had stopped rapping?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I thought that this was, like, always.
The stuff you're seeing on Instagram with that started me posting, like, freestyles and stuff like that, like, a little over a year ago.
Well, that's
the
when,
first
like,
time I got,
quote, unquote, met you.
Yeah, that's when I first got back into it.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought, like a fucking 6 year hiatus.
Shut up. I didn't know that. I thought you'd been doing it.
Not at all, nah. That's why everybody's all like, holy shit, like I didn't even know this kid did this. You know, because you got a platform now.
When you did the For the Pussy challenge, because that was
that
great.
Was the first one that I put on Instagram. The first people know me from back in the day know that I rapped. I was pretty big on MySpace, like for music,
mm-hmm.
like in the top 20, like unsigned artists for like New York and shit like that. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, little things like that. Well, MySpace to me was the greatest thing for music. And then when it died out, everybody went to Facebook. Facebook didn't have that same music platform,
no.
And that just honestly, I was
and it was just totally different because there was no real like customization and things.
It was boring. Honestly, I was very lost at that. As funny as that's, I was lost and I was like fucking depressed and shit because there was no way to see my music anymore.
Oh.
It was like people that are big on like SoundCloud and shit now. If that went away,
it's just like what happened with Vine. There were so many Vine stars, and then that was done.
Like if you didn't pop off, you know, and blow up from Vine before it shut down or before it went, whatever happened with it. you'd be fucked also.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you started getting popular and then Vine went away and now you could bring your fans and shit over to Instagram or whatever or YouTube, you're okay.
Yeah.
This is when I was just building on MySpace and just getting to a point where people were recognizing me, you know, wherever I went, like people knew me and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then MySpace just was done out of nowhere and I had nowhere to go. At the time, you can go to like SoundCloud, but it wasn't what it was now.
So now you're mainly using Instagram, right?
Yeah, I'm just getting back into it. I don't even know what I'm doing yet. I'm just putting out, you know, I'm just putting out freestyles. At some point, I'm going to be, you know, trying to work on an album or some kind of project. But anyway, back to the WWE stuff. So he was like, yo, I know you rap. I didn't know you rap. I want to get you on a song. I want you to do a theme song for a wrestler.
Okay.
I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. No way. Stop. I don't think I said that to him.
Yeah, right?
I don't think I said that to him, but in my head, I'm like, yeah.
You might have said it.
Nah, I didn't. I was just like, oh, cool, you know, da da da. And in my head, I'm like,
oh, you played it off.
In my head, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. No way, bro. People have been telling me shit my whole entire life. Yo, I'm going to get you signed and I'm going to that dumb shit. And I'd be
so
like,
you don't
yeah.
Get your hopes up.
Everybody has lied to me growing up with that shit. You know what I'm saying? So. When he told me that, I was like, all right, you know, at least I knew he was like an actual big time player in WWE for music. So I was like, okay, there's a chance, whatever. Literally 2 weeks later, he's like, I have a wrestler I need you to do a theme song for. Come to the studio. Like that. And I did one theme song. It was probably one of the biggest highlights of my entire life. I watched them debut the theme song on Monday Night Raw. And it was fucking insane. I had my family on the phone. I had my friends on the phone.
So that's something, I guess, that the little kid version of you.
Insane.
Insane. Would flip out.
Yeah. Now, Fast forward, I did two more theme songs for them.
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward a little bit more, the WWE video game that comes out every year.
This has been like a long...
Yeah. The WWE thing's been like 3 years total of working with them and doing songs, and I'm hoping that, you know, he has told me that there'll be room for other, you know, songs and things like that in the future. But my songs are in the video game also. Yeah.
That's so freaking
sick.
Cool.
So sick.
You had said that you were on MySpace and then that just went away. And was that when you took that six-year hiatus?
Yeah, 100%.
So what got you back into it, though?
You know, I started building followers, I guess, on Instagram and people, you know, and I'm doing the jewelry thing so people know who I am.
And you guys have a lot
of... a big following.
Yeah, and you have a big following, and there's also a lot of music.
It's just my whole thing was like, when the Pussy Challenge thing that you're talking about came out, I was like, let me take a crack at it, see if I still got this shit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it did really fucking well on Instagram, and people were like, holy shit. Like, no, people that didn't know, people that knew I rapped were like, there he is. You know what I mean? He's back. People that didn't know were like, holy shit, this kid does this. Like, And everyone was bombarding me with emails, DMs and shit, like, we want more. So now I got this fucking pressure on me to drop all these, and I've been doing it for over a year. Yeah, and it keeps me motivated. People love it. And it challenges myself each time, you know.
Yeah,
different,
we know, like, every 2 weeks, we got to see something.
Something like that, yeah. I've been slacking a little with two-week thing, but yeah, everybody's been getting what they want.
So, since you had started out, you were doing the telemarketing, and then you got into jewelry. How did that happen?
So after telemarketing,
that was like a major turning point for you.
Yeah, after telemarketing, that's where I learned the majority of my. Like I said, I was always like a little salesman growing up and shit. But like that's where I learned the majority of my sales skills.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I left and went to work for a sales company that was one of the biggest sales companies for door-to-door sales.
Okay.
That worked with Verizon Fios, their cable and internet. I was a manager there for 3.5 years. In total, I worked for that sales company for 7 years, maybe, a long time. At one point, I dropped down from being a manager. I was working in Staten Island. I dropped down from being a manager and started working in the city because they just opened a new market. It made more sense for me to not be a manager. There's way more money to be made as a rep making sales in the city than to be stuck in Staten Island that's been saturated already with sales. So while I was there, our office was located on 56th or 55th and 6th. The Diamond District is 47th and 6th. So on my little hour break that I had before we'd go out to the field, I'd walk over to the Diamond District to look at jewelry because that was always my thing.
Yeah. Well, you were, you know, Frost.
I was Frost. Yeah. Always.
the first with part. The cubic zirconia.
Yes. Yes. And while I was over there, I went to go buy some jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And I did buy some jewelry, and that's where I met Greg and started hanging with him. You know, I would go, that would be a habit now. Every day I would go after on my break.
So eventually you started to know you.
Yeah. I mean, we clicked the day we met.
Okay.
Because we had a lot of shit in common with like sneakers. We're big on sneakers.
Okay.
Big on music, you know. So we clicked immediately. We're both from New York and shit. We're both in the same kind of like, we know the culture, like, you know. We clicked immediately. But every day now, while I was working with the Verizon thing, that 1 hour break that I had, that's where I would go. I liked the atmosphere there. It was just like, that's where I wanted to be. And fast forward to a couple of years after that, a year after that, maybe, we started working together.
How did that happen? Did he tell you? Did you ask him? What happened?
I didn't really...
Like, how did that happen, though?
Well, I was always...
Like, oh, hey, you're here all the time. Why don't you work here?
No, I just liked his mindset that he had and, like, the vision that he had. And we shared the same vision. And I just wanted to be on board with, you know, bringing that vision to the next level with him.
What's something that you learned from this, though?
That if you're persistent enough, you know, it'll work out.
You're a big person on routine.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
Speaking about persistence. And obviously, you have a lot of self-discipline.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. And do you find that that's, like, a real key? Like, what would you say is the key thing that has made you be successful?
Discipline. I mean, I have willpower.
Mm-hmm.
I have tons and tons of willpower. I do shit that I don't really enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. Have you trained yourself to get used to doing things even when you don't like, 100%, you don't like it? Okay.
100%. Because if I know that I have to do something, or if I put my mind to doing something, it might not always be like the most amazing thing in the world to do, but I know, like, hey,
do it.
Jay, you got to do this. Like,
your morning routine.
Yes.
Is what I find fascinating.
Okay.
Because you said, like, what, you don't go to work till, like, what, 10?
I don't get to work till around 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Okay. So, but you wake up at like 4 or 5 o'clock and you're at the gym.
4 a.m. So, first of all, I don't like rushing anything I do.
Mm-hmm.
I get up at 4. I like to have a little bit of time before I go out. It's not like I'm up at 4. I'm at the gym at 4:20.
Right, right.
I get to the gym about 5 o'clock.
But you're really carving out time for yourself.
Yeah. I like having alone time, if that sounds, you know, I never thought that that's how I would want to be. But I feel like everybody needs that.
When did that start, though?
When I started, like, living on my own, I guess, in, like, my 20s, probably, I was, like, you know, I enjoyed quiet time. I enjoyed, you know, relaxed time being, you know, I go for walks in the morning. I go and get a cup of coffee, and I go for a walk, like, literally every morning that I don't.
Introverted.
I love it. Like, I love walking. I love being and being able to walk and think.
Yeah,
that's where I come up with all my shit. My ideas and my thoughts are all there on these, like, little walks and things that I do and alone time that I have.
Yeah, I take walks whenever, like, I feel like I need to clear my head.
I love it.
Yeah.
To me, it's the most relaxing, 100%, enjoyable.
100%.
I like going alone and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a weirdo.
No, that's not weird. That's not weird at all. What's been, let's say, a failure or something that looked like a failure that set you up for a later success?
Something that was a failure for a later success. I mean, I don't really think anything that I've done was considered a failure.
Well, was there ever anything that, like, didn't go your way that you were like, man, this sucks, and then it just kind of...
Well, all the time, like, with the MySpace thing and shit like that, and, you know, that I'm back still doing music, still, you know what I mean? And then I got the WWE theme song. That's something that, you know, it failed MySpace time. It failed because there was nothing I could do about it. There was literally nowhere to go at that point.
And also, there were so many people who, like, it wasn't just you who experienced that, obviously.
No,
there were so many other people.
It hurt everybody at that point in time.
And probably the majority of them gave up and were like, well, that's it.
I'm not saying any names, but I know people for sure that I was very close with at the time that just stopped doing the shit.
Yeah.
Completely. To this day, they're stopping. They're not doing music anymore.
Like, it's not even a conversation.
It hurt a lot of people. Yo, there was nowhere to go after that. SoundCloud was just, like, starting.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, you have to understand something. If you have this big following on MySpace, right? Okay. You built the shit up and now it's gone. And there's, let's say, SoundCloud, where you have to start from zero, and nobody even knew what the fuck SoundCloud was. It's not like it was now. People are getting signed off of SoundCloud now. It's not like that now. There's a term called SoundCloud rappers now.
Yeah, I know.
This shit was not there at the time. It was MySpace or nothing. But I kept it going and ended up doing the WWE stuff. So it worked out.
I have like two more questions, okay. Basically.
You can have as many more as you want.
Oh, well, in that case, take out my scroll. What's been the best lesson that you think life has taught you so far?
The best lesson that life has taught me so far was to stay consistent with every single thing that you do, because we'll eventually just like burst through and be like, here I am, motherfuckers. Like,
well, you never know what it's going to be. Yeah. Like sometimes the thing that you're like, I don't really know how people are going to feel. And that could be the thing that everybody really likes. And it kind of takes you by surprise.
Just stay consistent.
And then there's times where you'll think like, oh, this they're going to love. Cause like, I know when with myself, like sometimes I'll put something out and I'm like, oh, they're going to love this. Yep. And it's like,
you're never
going to
know. You never know what people like until it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
take shit down all the time that I'm like, not it.
Well, like, I also liked what you said about the quote-unquote failure, about, like, how you kept going. Because, like, what I tell people is sometimes things happen that you're like, why the fuck is this happening? And it doesn't ever make sense until way later on.
Yep.
You just have to keep going. Like, the dots always connect.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. In some form, they do.
Yeah,
for sure.
In some weird way.
Yep.
Okay, so my very last question, which is it's a very good question, in my opinion. It's my favorite question. It's what's in a Frost sandwich? Because anybody that follows you knows that you love food.
Yeah, let's talk about food for a second. Like, nobody ever asked me about food. I am a food connoisseur. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I love food. I love everything about food. Always loved everything about food. I eat twice a day, two like big meals a day, lunch and dinner. And that's all I think about when I wake up in the morning is what I'm going to eat for lunch. After I eat lunch, I'm like, okay, this is over with. Now, what the fuck am I going to eat for dinner later? That's my big,
so like
that's one of my big passions.
Is everything
food.
You're really doing just distracting you from food?
Yes, for real. It's like, and I've had
like,
these conversations.
Shit, what am I going to do between my
meals? I've had these conversations with people like, what the fuck do I do now? Like, yeah. And that's exactly what it is. So anyway.
You have a sandwich.
I have a sandwich named after me at Charlie's Sandwich Shop in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. It is one of the best sandwich places to go and eat at, by the way. If you guys have not tried Charlie's, go ahead and try it. I have a sandwich there called the Frost Sandwich. It consists of a brick oven
bread. Because I like it. I like what you say.
With ham.
Uh-huh.
Hot sopressata.
Yes.
Fresh mutz.
Yes.
Is that what you're waiting for?
Yes.
Fresh mutz, which is fresh mozzarella. And fried eggplant and a balsamic mayo.
Balsamic.
Yeah. Okay. And it is delicious and incredible. And
are you going to come out with another sandwich?
You never know. Yeah.
You might be a sandwich guy.
I am a sandwich guy. I would love to do, people always tell me all the time I should do some kind of food blog or food something and to tie into
like
what
you kind of have a food blog, sort of.
But like,
always doing food.
Yes. But like to make it, like you were talking about, like time, how do you have time to do all this?
Well, you're always eating.
To add one more, like, to add, like, a blog now or something like that is, like, tough, but...
I wouldn't tell you to do a blog, but I think what you're doing is...
Yeah.
I mean,
I would love to do something...
You're still going for
food. Yeah, but I would love to do some kind of, like, a food, like, review thing or, like, a food something.
Well,
some shit where I could go eat food.
Watching me eat.
Yes.
So
that's all for this week's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it and got something out of it. You can find and follow Jason on Instagram at jfrostbrooklyn. I will have links to everywhere that you can find him and his brand online in the show notes so that you can be sure to check that out. In the meantime, thank you all so much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.